Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Well, it's wonderful to be here tonight. It's wonderful to be back. You know, I was only gone for a week, but it felt like a year, so I'm very happy to be here tonight. We're going to begin with a prayer before we do anything else. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness and for thy mercy and for thy grace, and we thank thee for this opportunity to be in thy presence. Once again, we pray, Lord, that thou would preside over this entire service. We pray, Lord, that thy spirit would be felt by all who are here, by all who are listening online, and by all who will hear this service later. We pray, O God, that thou would do a mighty work in our hearts and in our minds and in our very souls, Lord. Help us, O God, to draw nigh to thee. Help us, O God, to desire to worship thee in spirit and in truth. For we know that thou art seeking such to worship thee, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that thou would inhabit the praises of thy people here this night. And we ask, Lord, that thy anointing would be here. Let thy blessings fall, we pray. And we ask that each and everything we do would be pleasing in thy sight and according to thy perfect will. In Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to start with number 115 in the chorus book tonight. I will enter his gates. Number 115. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. And we're going to turn now to number 124 and sing the Garment of Praise, number 124. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the Spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the Spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the Spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to sing number 44 now. Give unto the Lord, number 44. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Let's sing number 35. I love him better every day. Number 35. I love him better every day. I love him better every day. Close by his side, there I'll abide, for I love him better every day. I love him better every day. I love him better every day. Close by his side, there I'll abide, for I love him better every day. I love him better every day. I love him better every day. Close by his side, there I'll abide, for I love him better every day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And we're going to turn now to number 66 and sing Jesus I'll Never Forget. Number 66. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to turn now to number 87 and sing Hallelujah. I'm Walking with the King, number 87. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. Praise his holy name. Walking with the King. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. I'm walking up the King's highway. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. Praise his holy name. walking with the King. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. I'm walking up the King's highway. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. Praise His holy name. Walking with the King. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. I'm walking up the King's highway. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. Praise His holy name. Walking with the King. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. I'm walking up the King's highway. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Let's sing number 90. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. Number 90. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run in to the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run in to the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run in to the name of the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Well, I suppose people are probably wondering about what happened this last week. You know, I was gone, and my wife and I, we went down to South Carolina because her mother passed away. And, of course, that's very sad for us, but I know it's a happy occasion for her. But it was an eventful week, you know, as we were driving down there. Well, that would have been... Oh boy, and that Sunday, not this last Sunday, but the Sunday before that, we left right after church. We were driving down, heading towards South Carolina. We spent the night in Indiana, and I felt a prompting in my spirit to write my mother-in-law's obituary, and it's really amazing how that all worked out. You know, I started on it the next day after we arrived at our destination. I wrote a little bit that night, and then I wrote even more the next day, and as it turned out, I ended up writing most of the obituary, and there was a family friend who helped write some of it as well. She filled in a lot of the family details because she was talking to Linda's brother on the phone, and she was able to, you know, get all his relatives and all that. And I was thankful for that because that would have been a lot of extra work for me. But, you know, it ended up working out pretty well. I think the obituary turned out pretty well. I think her family was pleased with it, and... the Lord really gave me the words to write, and I'm so appreciative of that. And of course, we had the service for her last Friday, and it was a fairly simple event, and there was a kind of a graveside service, really, and that same family friend was officiating, and at one point she asked if anybody had anything to say, so, knowing me the way I am, of course I got up, and I did have something to say. In fact, the Lord had been prompting me to get up and speak, but it was interesting because I didn't have my Bible with me, so I had to speak from the heart. But, you know, it's really true what the Scripture tells us about the Holy Ghost and how it will give you the words to speak. You know, that Jesus said that the Holy Ghost is our teacher, and I really felt like the Lord was with me during that entire service and the entire portion in which I was speaking. And, you know, it's kind of amazing because most of the people there I didn't even know, but I really didn't feel nervous about it at all. And that's quite a difference from how things were when I first started preaching, because the first time I ever got up here, I was shaking like a leaf. And the Lord really helped me. He gave me the words, and I was able to share some of my memories of my mother-in-law. I think people really appreciated that. And the Lord gave me scriptures, too. I didn't have my Bible, but the Lord gave me scriptures. And I had to do them from memory, but the Lord gave them to me, and He is faithful. He helps us. You know, people would just get up when they're prompted by the Holy Ghost and do what God is prompting them to do. He'll help you. He always helps His people. If He wants you to do something, you better believe that He'll equip you to do it. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because my wife, she was talking to that same family friend and texting her, actually, and this was the next day. And, this woman, she said, well, thank your husband for getting up and speaking. She said, you know, I could tell when the anointing kicked in. And you know what? I could too. And it was really an amazing thing. So I'm very glad that I was able to do that. Of course, Leah right now, she's still devastated, of course. She lost her mother. And she loved her mother very much. They were very close. They talked all the time. And they sent messages back and forth on Facebook. And there were a lot of them. And, they would talk on the phone for hours and hours and hours. So Leah misses her mother tremendously, and that's very difficult for her. So if you could please keep her in prayer, we would appreciate that so much. And, of course, I'll miss her too, but I'm sure the pain is far more severe for Leah and her brother Joel, who's taking it very hard as well. So please just keep that entire family in prayer, and we do appreciate that. But anyway, it is good to be back here, and like I said earlier, you know, I was gone for a week, but it felt like I was gone a year. It just felt like I was away way too long. I missed two services. I hate to miss any, but I guess I had important work to do down there, too. So praise the Lord for that. And Lord willing, you know, I'm a little behind schedule now, and I'm sure that you can understand why with everything that happened. We had to leave very quickly, and it was actually right around the time that I would normally begin prepping and writing the newsletter. Of course, that didn't happen, so I've been doing my prepping since I got back, and I'm hoping to begin writing tomorrow. And if the Lord will help me, I'm going to try to write it in 2 days. Usually, I do it in 3, sometimes 4, but I don't really have time to do it in 4 this time. So hopefully the Lord will help me. I would really love to get it done in 2 days, and I'm going to start tomorrow, Thursday and Friday, and hopefully it'll be ready to go Saturday morning. So please keep me in prayer about that. There is a lot that needs to be covered in that newsletter because there is so much happening in this world, and this world has changed so much, and it is still changing too. It's amazing the things we're seeing on the news. Of course, you know, they say COVID it's just spreading like wildfire now, worse than ever, especially in Wisconsin. And it's really, really bad in this area too, in Beaver Dam and in Dodge County. They say it's spreading like wildfire, and a lot of people are nervous about that, but the Lord will help us. I truly believe that. And, there's so much happening in this world right now, and we have that election coming up, and people are tremendously concerned about that as well. We don't know what's going to happen with that. Of course, all the polls are saying that there's virtually no chance that Donald Trump will win re-election. And, you know, I'm not really that worried about who wins the presidency because, frankly, the Lord will be with us no matter what. If it's Trump or if it's Biden, I don't put my trust in princes. I don't put my trust in men. I put my trust in God. And no matter who is president of the United States, God is still on the throne, and Jesus Christ is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That never changes. And I know a lot of people feel like, well, this election, whatever happens, it could mean the end of this country. And, you know, I understand the concern. It could. But the way things are changing in this world right now, and so many things that have happened because of this virus, it's hard to say, you know, how long this country might survive regardless, honestly. And I don't mean to put fear into the hearts of anyone. The Lord has the final say in everything that happens, and I know there are Christian people in the United States, and God has promised to be with his people, so don't be afraid, no matter what happens. But we need to understand that this virus has changed everything. There's way more government overreach now than there ever has been before, and people want that. They're asking for that. They did a poll, they did a study, and they found that people want more government intervention in their life right now because of this virus. They say people need help. They need to be taken care of by the government. And what this could eventually do is usher in socialism, especially if Biden wins. And we know that Kamala Harris, she's the most liberal senator in Congress, according to independent research. And, you know, Joe Biden he doesn't look like he's in particularly good health. So a lot of people wonder if Kamala Harris could end up being a president. And this country would be in a lot of trouble if that happened. But this country is going to be in a lot of trouble regardless. Thankfully, we know that no matter what happens, the Lord is with us. Anyway, the next newsletter should be very interesting, so be on the lookout for that. Like I said, I have a lot to cover, and oh boy, there's so many things happening too with China and all of that, and it's very intriguing. So that will hopefully be ready next week, and we'll mail it out. And hopefully there won't be a lot of unrest after this election, but a lot of people are very worried about that. And no matter what happens, though, we are going to trust the Lord. In fact, you know, there's a good song to sing at a time like this when a lot of people are wondering how things are going to turn out when there's so much uncertainty in the world. Let's turn to number 19 in the chorus book before we turn this over to Shirley and sing Some Trust in Chariots, number 19. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now know I that the Lord saved his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy. right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we will now turn this over to Shirley and see what the Lord has put on her heart. Praise God.
Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It is good to be here tonight. Oh, thank the Lord for our strong tower that the righteous runneth into and are safe. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so good to us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, here we are again tonight, and so much to thank the Lord for. I know we thank everybody who helped us pray. I know so many of you were very concerned about Brother Samuel and Sister Leah. And thank you for your great prayers, you know, your wonderful prayers. It's such a privilege to go before the throne of grace. And thank the Lord we serve such a mighty God, a God with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Oh, praise the Lord. We serve the mighty God. Amen. And he's going to be with us. No matter what happens on the surface of this earth, we know that we can depend upon our God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. Let's talk to him. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for these opportunities. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, that if we draw nigh unto you, that you would draw nigh unto us. Oh, God, we thank you that you've opened up your arms that you might receive us, Lord, if we'll just fall on the rock, Christ Jesus, and come unto thee, Lord. Oh, God, we're so thankful for this privilege, for this opportunity, Lord. And I pray that you would be here, Lord, that your word would come forth with power, Lord, with strength. Oh, Lord, with anointing, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd use this word for thy kingdom's sake, for your people's sake, Lord. Oh, God, for you know that we are pilgrims and strangers in this earth. We're traveling through this earth, God, and we need your hand. We need your help. Oh, God, we need your protection, Lord. We need faith. Faith to believe you, God, no matter what happens, God. Faith to depend upon thy promises. Oh, God, I pray that you would bathe us with faith. Oh, God, that you give us overcoming strength, Lord. And God, I just pray that you would be with your people tonight. Lord, you know each and every need, Lord. Oh, God, you know those that are sick and, oh, God, have great needs. Lord, you know how to raise those sick up, oh, Lord. You know how to heal. Oh, God, you know how to cleanse. You know how to deliver, Lord. God, we're so thankful that we can come unto you, Lord. Oh, God, I thank you for what you've done today, Lord. Oh, God, those times we could pray, Lord. And, oh, God, I pray that you'd keep on, oh, Lord. Oh, God, holding McKenzie up, Lord. And, oh, God, stretch forth your hand, oh, Lord, to bring her through, oh, God, the fatigue syndrome, Lord. And, oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that you would work in a mighty way. Oh, likewise with all of your people, Lord. For you know our needs before we ask, Lord. Oh, God, you know, God, how to help us, Lord. Oh, God, I think of Judy and Don tonight, Lord, and I pray, oh, Lord, that you would be with them, that you touch them, Lord, that faith would work in their hearts, Lord. I pray that your will would be done, Lord. Oh, God, we give all things over to thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. You are our Savior. You are our healer. You are our soon-coming King, Lord, and we love you, Jesus. Oh, God, we pray that you would work here tonight. Oh, God, again, you know each and every need, Lord. Oh, God, help Sister Shirley's son, Jason, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that you would touch that man, that you'd heal that man, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you talk to his heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, likewise, you know our burdens. You know the needs before we ask or think, Lord. And I pray that you'd work here tonight. I pray, oh, God, that your spirit would direct this. Oh, God, I give it to you. Let the devil be bound. Oh, God, let him not interfere, Lord. Let your spirit move in a mighty way, God, for you know the needs of your people, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, that you'd help us, Lord. Oh, in Jesus' precious name, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Again, it's such a privilege to know the Lord in such times as these. We know things are pretty shaky right now. And oh my, we know that what we know as our way of life could even be at risk for all we know with the coming election and everything that is at hand. But praise the Lord, we serve a God who doesn't change. He is invariable. Oh, there's no shadow of turning with him. And oh, we can look for him. And we can stand on his promises. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm going to call this message, Looking for a City. Praise the Lord. Looking for a City. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's just turn here to Matthew chapter 6 as we begin here tonight. Praise the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 6. Praise the Lord. Just reading a few common verses here. Verse 19 and 20 and 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad that we can have our treasures in heaven. I'm so glad that our heart can be in heaven, and especially as, oh my, we see these things coming to pass. I feel sorry for anybody whose hope is in this world, and that's where their treasures are. Oh, we know from the scripture that, oh my, the day is coming, and we see it coming soon, the day when this earth is going to be burnt up, and all the works that are therein. And nothing is going to remain except the things that we have done for the kingdom of God. the people of God. Oh, yes, the things that are of God. And praise the Lord, we know that our hope cannot be in this world that is ready to perish. Oh, yes, oh, this world that is so polluted, so full of trouble, so shaky. Oh, yes, so full of confusion, this world where decay is common. This earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. Amen. This world where thieves do break through and steal. But praise the Lord, if we're serving the Lord, if he's in our heart, then our treasures are not in this earth, but they are in heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Praise the Lord. We're going to get into this beautiful chapter for a little bit here and talk about the faith that Abraham had, the faith that the people of God have had. Oh, yes, in order to make it in to that city that is beyond us, that heavenly city, that new Jerusalem. Praise the Lord, and that faith that we must have in our hearts as individuals. Praise the Lord. It's not going to be any different for us than it has been for those that have gone on before us. But here it tells us, Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And you know, it's so amazing because, you know, most things that people dream about on this earth are tangible and you know, kind of clear. You might have a goal and you know, it's kind of a focus, I guess, but you know, until it's obtained, it's not really there. And likewise, the children of God have this thing called faith. And we know clearly, as it tells us in the 6th verse of this chapter, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Oh, we know that to be a fact. And we know, as it tells us in many places in the Word of God, we walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, yes, you know, our walk is not the norm if we're Christians, because our focus must be on things that are above, not on things of this earth. And praise the Lord, it's a wonderful thing if we're looking for that city, and yeah, that's where our heart is. Oh yes, if we're looking to be forever with the Lord. And so as we go through this earth, there is a need that our lookout would be for the things that are eternal, the things that are not going to pass away, the things that are not going to corrupt, the things that are not going to be burnt up. Oh, yes, as this earth comes to its end. But oh, praise the Lord. Yes, it tells us in verse 2, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." And we know that's what it took back in the time of old Israel. In order to make it in to the promised land, there had to be faith. And it was a sad thing when the children of Israel came to the point where they could cross over into Canaan land, and somehow they just did not have faith to go forward, at least not hardly any of them. Of the elders that had led them initially, there were only two men, and Moses, I would say, that had faith. And of course, we know that it was Caleb and Joshua who, you know, in spite of the giants that the others saw, they had faith. They believed that in spite of giants, that God was fully capable of bringing them in to that land. And I love, you know, how, you know, in spite of the reports of the other 10 spies that had gone in and seen the good land that the Lord had promised them and prepared for them and had meant for them, I love how Caleb was able to urge them, oh yes, to go in immediately and take that land in spite of giants and other obstacles. But I'll tell you what, other than Caleb and Joshua, it seemed that the others just could not have that kind of faith. And because of a lack of it, they were not able to enter in. At least, not that generation. But praise the Lord, those that did enter in, and those that did walk with the Lord in the times of the old covenant, they had faith. And it was by faith only that they could obtain a good report. Otherwise, you know, they were going to fall. They were going to perish. They weren't going to make it in to those promises that God had prepared for his people. And so, as it was back in that time, that need to have faith to obtain a good report, so it is even at these moments. We've got to have faith to make it through this world, to see beyond the things that try to, you know, shadow out the good things of God. But it tells us in verse 3 here in Hebrews 11, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And again, oh, it was faith that put this very world into existence. The word of God, the speaking of Almighty God, the Creator, just to say, let it be, as he brought it into being. And what moments those must have been, but it was his mighty word that spoke it into existence. And there is no other explanation. In spite of all the things that are taught in the schools and all the other thoughts that people might have, oh no, there is no other way other than God saying, let there be light. And yes, let all the green things come forth. Let the waters come forth. You know, let the fish come forth and all the other creatures. It was God's word that made it happen. And yes, as he put the elements together, oh yes, the components of which everything would consist. How amazing it must have been, yes, as God spoke it forth and brought it all together. And oh yes, presented his wonderful creation. Praise the Lord. Yes, the things, oh yes, that were created, they were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. No, God spoke it into existence and put all those components together so that all at once, there it was. And things began to shape as God willed it forth and declared it. Praise the Lord. And then those that walked with God, faith was always a characteristic by which they pleased God. And it tells us in verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And you know, I don't know just exactly how it came to be that both Abel and Cain presented offerings unto the Lord. I believe God put it in their heart to, you know, honor him in such a way. But we know Cain's heart was not right with God. And he did go about it right. There were other motives for his sacrifice, obviously. But thanks be to God, there was the man Abel who did it with his heart, with the right motives, with an appropriate heart towards the Lord. And therefore, he was able to offer unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And yes, through that, there was a witness. There was a witness of his walk with God, of his righteousness, his ability to be right before God. And God was able to verify it and testify of his gifts, as it tells us here in this fourth verse. And even though he was killed by his brother, that blood still spoke up from the ground. Oh, it still was a witness of his righteousness, of his excellent sacrifice. And then verse 5 speaks of Enoch. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Oh my, we don't know very much about Enoch. But all we know is that he obviously pleased the Lord. And oh, he had a testimony. He had a declaration. And oh my, what he declared was honorable in the sight of God. And oh yes, obviously, from the little we know, one thing that he testified of, Enoch also the seventh from Adam, it tells us in the book of Jude, verse 14, that he prophesied. He prophesied of these saying, verse 14, here in Jude, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. You know, Enoch might have been one, oh, maybe the only one among all those that were around him. I'm not sure. The Word of God, again, doesn't give us a great deal of details. But for sure, he had a testimony. And he obviously declared it. And yes, he prophesied of the coming of the Lord. Oh, he prophesied of the coming of the Lord with 10,000 of his saints. Oh, yes, the judgment. To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Oh my, that moment is coming. Oh, how many people are prepared for it? It's going to be such a shock. It's going to be such a surprise. Those who have not prepared their hearts for the living God. And suddenly, to stand before him. Oh yes, to stand before him and declare their works. Of course, it's all going to be known unto God. And oh yes, judgment will be forthcoming. And all I know is I want boldness in the day of judgment. I want my heart to be right with God. I want to be cleansed of all my unrighteous deeds. I don't want anything in my life to separate me from God. I want it to be able to behold him in peace. Oh yes, without fear, without trembling. Oh, knowing that he has cleansed my heart. He has made me right. And oh, it's only because of him. It's only because of his righteousness, that gift of salvation, that I can stand before him. But oh, what a gift, and we can claim it. Oh yes, as we walk this earth, how needful it is to give our hearts, our lives over to the living God. Amen. Oh, how amazing it was that Enoch, who walks so long ago, had that kind of faith. In the midst of his world, in the midst of his kind of darkness, in the midst, I'm sure, of all kinds of scorners and mockers and ridiculers and all of that. But it tells us in verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a statement this is in verse 6. Without faith, you cannot. It is impossible to please God. As we come to him, we must at first believe that he is, that he exists. And we come to him by faith. And sometimes, you know, people may not have that kind of background to know. But I know something. Oh, my, if you will cry out to him, if you will diligently seek him, he will be found. Oh, yes, he will come to you. Oh, yes, he will make himself known unto you if you will seek him with all your heart. Oh, it tells us in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse 12, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And verse 13 here in Jeremiah 29 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Oh, that is telling us how to diligently seek after God. Oh, yes, to make that a priority in our life, to find the living God, to know the living God, to seek for the living God. And praise the Lord, yes, he has promised that if we seek him, that we will find him when we search for him with all our hearts. And verse 14 in this chapter of Jeremiah tells us, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Of course, yes, this chapter was written to those that had been taken captive when Jerusalem and Judea were destroyed by the Babylonians and carried away into captivity. But oh my, there was the promise of God that yes, after those 70 years were accomplished, that they would return. Oh yes, and praise the Lord, not only was it true back then, but I believe these verses tell us how we can find God today. Oh, yes, when we seek him, that promise that we would find him when we search for him with all our heart. Oh, with our uttermost being. Oh, with that great purpose to know God, to find God. Oh, yes. Oh, to be filled with his spirit. Oh, yes, to be right in his sight. Oh, it's a wonderful privilege indeed. Oh, yes, it's a wonderful joy indeed to know the living God. I was just thinking as I'm talking here tonight about Paul's message to the Athenians when he was on Mars Hill. And yes, oh my, there he stood there as he found that altar to the unknown God. Oh, among all the altars, they had one that was dedicated to a God that they didn't know. But he was going to declare that unknown God to those Athenians. Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verse 23, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. Oh, praise the Lord, our almighty God, our all-knowing God. Oh, yes, who predetermined all these details long ago. But he also determined, as it tells us in verse 27 here in Acts 17, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Oh, praise the Lord. And he went on to say in verse 29, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and men's devices. Or man's devices, it says there. And the times of this ignorance God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Oh, it is time to repent. It is time to get right with God. Oh, he's winked at a lot of things in the past, but now the gospel has gone forth, and now the hour is late, and the time of his return is at hand. Yes, because it tells us in verse 31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Oh, yes, he hath appointed a day. Oh, just as, yes, it was spoken of so long ago by Enoch, that day when God is going to judge this world in righteousness. Oh, that day that is forthcoming, when he is going to come, he is going to make himself known, and every eye is going to see him. What a moment that is going to be. Yes, God is going to judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Oh, praise the Lord. Our Lord is coming again. And praise the Lord, going back here to Hebrews 11th chapter, again, it is impossible to please God without faith. Oh, yes, we've got to believe that he is, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it's going to be so worth it. Oh, yes, to be right with God, to have given our hearts over to the living God. And praise the Lord, we still have a little time where we can diligently, with all our hearts, seek the Lord while he yet may be found. Yes, because he is coming. He hath appointed that day wherein he is going to judge this world in righteousness. It continues here in Hebrews 11 to tell us in verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a work of faith that must have been. It had never rained on this whole earth at that point. And yet Noah had faith to believe God's word. And yes, he was stirred in his heart as God warned him of things to come at that moment. He was so stirred that he obeyed the precise instructions that God Almighty gave him and prepared that ark, oh yes, to the saving of his house. He did that which was necessary to do. Oh, yes, that earth was condemned at that point. Oh, yes, oh, men had rebelled, and God was so weary of it that, oh, my, it was time to judge that earth. But thank the Lord, there was one man, that man being Noah, who found grace in the eyes of God. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, God warned him of things yet to come. Though he had never seen rain fall from the sky before those moments, yet he believed God. He was moved with fear, and yes, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Oh, praise the Lord, he did it, and therefore he was saved, and those that were in that ark, praise the Lord, wherein those that did not give heed, those that stood without and mocked and scorned and ridiculed, they drowned, didn't they? Because our God means what he says. Oh, yes, and he has declared that he is a consuming fire. And although he has promised that he will never destroy this earth by means of a flood again, not a whole flood that will destroy the whole earth, he is going to destroy this earth by fire. And how we need to give heed and get our hearts right with God right now. We need to be moved with fear to the saving of our house, to the saving of our soul. Now, while we have a little time, oh yes, when that door, the ark, was shut, there was no longer any time to get on that ark. Even though Noah had preached for years and years and years, that moment came when it was happening, and God shut that door, that one door of the ark, and it was shut, and there was no entrance to it whatsoever at that moment at all. It was too late to go into that ark. How it is right now, we must give heed to the things that we have heard. Oh, lest at any time these things would slip. And oh, yes, we would not be ready at the sounding of the trumpet. Oh, yes, we need to give heed because, yes, when it is over and God declares time shall be no more, it is over. And as that door to salvation will be shut, there will be no more entrance. It will be too late to enter in to the kingdom of God. Oh, I thank God we have moments right now. Oh, yes, to prepare our hearts to get right, to give heed. Oh, yes, to the gospel message. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for his goodness, for his mercy, for his patience, for his long suffering. Yet we know that, oh, it's all going to come to an end. For he hath appointed a day wherein he is going to judge this world in righteousness. Amen. Amen. Continuing in this chapter, let's talk about Abraham here in verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. And of course, I think most of you realize that those that are mentioned in this 11th chapter of Hebrews are people of faith, people that please God, people that obeyed. And here, just as the others that we've mentioned already in this chapter, here we have Abraham. And what a moment that was when, oh yes, there he was in Ur of Chaldea. And oh yes, God began to call him out. I can't imagine that it was an easy thing. It's never easy, I wouldn't think, to get up and go and leave your traditions, leave your family, leave your surroundings. But Abraham had faith. And it tells us in Genesis, the 12th chapter, of God's call to Abraham. And of course, at that point, his name was Abram. It tells us in chapter 12 of Genesis, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Well, the voice of God speaking to Abram, and praise the Lord, there was something in his heart called faith. That five-letter word, faith. Praise the Lord, he believed God. And he obeyed, it says in verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Oh, praise the Lord. This man had faith. And yes, he believed God. God was calling him. He was calling him to a call, a separation. Oh, to get out of his country, to get away from his kindred, to get away from his father's house, and go into that land that the Lord was going to show him. Oh, it took faith. It took courage. And yes, there was going to be separation. None of this sounds very easy to me. He didn't even have specific instructions except, you know, Canaan and just, you know, little bits and that places. But he had promises. He knew that God was going to go with him and there was going to be a blessing that came forth. And Abram obeyed God. He understood somehow that if he followed what God declared to him, what God spoke to his soul, that it would be well and that God would go with him. And yes, it tells us in verse 8 of Genesis 12, and he removed from thence into a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built it an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And so it was. And then they end up going into Egypt for a time because there is famine in the land. And then, oh yes, there is that time when they come out of Egypt. It tells us in chapter 13, verse 1, and Abraham went out. He went up out of Egypt. He and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Oh, is it surprising that Bethel means the house of God? Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Hai, which is also Ai, actually was a place of desolation, a ruin. But oh my, there he was, this place, a special place, near to Bethel, where he called upon the name of the Lord. It tells us in verse 5, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. Now there's going to be another separation. Oh, yes, his nephew Lot had gone with them. Originally, his wife Sarah and all their servants, all those that were a part of their kingdom or their family, not really a kindred in that sense, but, you know, the people that worked with them, and I would say were servants to them, all of them that had been together, but we know that Lot originally had gone with him. But here in this 13th chapter of the book of Genesis, we find out that there's going to be another separation. And at this point, because there was strife between Lot's cattle and Abram's cattle, that, oh yes, they had to divide, they had to separate. And so it was. We know that Lot chose the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Verse 12 in this chapter tells us, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Oh my, but the point is that there was a division here, a further division. God called Abram, or Abram as he was originally, to leave that which he was familiar with and that which he knew well. And then in that 13th chapter, there's another call to separate himself even more so. So no wonder that the children of God are also separated from the world. I know that we are in the world, but if we're really living for the world, excuse me, if we're really living for God, we are not of the world. There is a separation that must be if our lives are given over to God. It tells us in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, if we look at verse 14 to begin, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with the infidel? And I'll tell you what, you know, it tells us in the scripture that friendship with the world is enmity with God. And you know, you can't really be real close to the world and still live close to the Lord. There's going to be some kind of conflict. And it tells us here, or asks us here really in verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore he gives a command in verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh, praise the Lord. God has always wanted a people for his own self. Oh, yes, for a people that would walk in his ways and do his will and not conform to the ways of the world, but rather allow the Spirit of the living God to transform them. Oh yes, so that we might have the mind of Christ, so that we might walk with God, so we might please the Lord. So yes, there is a call to separation. Oh yes, even as it was for Abraham, or Abram as he was there at the first. So back here in Hebrews 11, it tells us, verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And here it is. There was something in Abraham that was greater than the things of this world. Even though he was a stranger, he was a sojourner, he dwelt in tents, he didn't have a permanent place of residence, there was something that he was looking for. There was something that was great in his heart. Verse 10 tells us, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, who is builder and maker is God. Oh, yes, there was something that was very deep within the heart of Abraham. I believe this is what gave him the strength to walk with God. I believe this is what gave him the strength, the boldness to go out and do the thing that seemed crazy in a lot of ways. To most minds, he didn't know where he was going to go or all the details. He didn't know how God would fulfill his promises. Here he was without a child. But he had something in his heart, and that was faith. Oh, yes, faith in God, and yes, a deep belief down inside. Yes, that there was a city that, oh, yes, he would find, a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Praise the Lord. I believe that was deep in the heart of Abraham. And I believe Sarah also had great faith. It tells us in verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Well, these are not easy things. We know that, yes, Sarah was 90 when she was delivered of a child. Abraham was 100. Oh, these were not simple feats by any means. But they had something in their heart. They had faith, faith to believe God, to honor God's word, to honor his promises. And know if God said it, it was going to be. He would follow through. It would happen. Praise the Lord. She judged him faithful who had promised. And because of that, oh yes, because she didn't stagger, Abraham didn't stagger at the promises of God, as it tells us in Romans, the 4th chapter. Verse 12 says, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Oh, praise the Lord. And if we are children of faith, we too are children of Abraham. Yes, because all those children that came forth from his seed, oh, yes, brought us to the law, saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It brought us to Jesus Christ, who also was of that seed. Praise the Lord. And if we are born again of the water and the Spirit, we become the children of the living God. We become the seed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it doesn't matter what our background is. Oh no, it's for Jew, it's for Greek, it's for male, it's for female. Oh yes, there's no respecter of persons with God. Amen. And because of this faith of Abraham and Sarah, again, verse 12 tells us, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Something that you can't count. The people of God. And you know there, oh yes, when we get home, when we stand there, oh, in the courts of heaven, praise the Lord, it's going to be a great multitude. Oh yes, a great multitude. Oh, that can't be numbered. Oh, praise the Lord. It's going to be a wonderful day when we all stand before our God and worship him. Oh, praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 5. Oh, yes. Oh, it talks about that new song that the children of God sing. Oh, yes, when we're home with the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 9 says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that great number of people that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, yes, because of what Jesus did. Oh, God sending forth his Son into the world to redeem his people, to buy his people. Oh, yes, so that he would bring forth a seed, a spiritual seed sons and daughters that would rule and reign with him for all eternity. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful gift we are given. Praise the Lord. It tells us in the 13th verse here in Hebrews 11, these all died in faith, not having received the promise. Not having received the promises, it says, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Yes, the Lord calls us to separation. Oh, you can't, you know, I know we have to have jobs, and I know we are in the world, and we have to, you know, we do, you know, correspond, we do talk, we do witness, you know, we do nice things for other people, and, you know, we do what we can to encourage them also to find the living God. But, you know, still there is a separation between the children of God and the children of this world. And, you know, that makes us strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We're not going to be well understood. In fact, you know, very often people aren't going to understand. We're not going to understand why, you know, we don't run with them, why we don't do the things that we once did. As is mentioned, I believe it's the 4th chapter of 1 Peter. He talks about, yes, how, you know, in the time of our past life, you know, we lived in the will of the Gentiles. Verse 3 here, it says, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. In other words, we're not very well understood. If we're really living for the Lord, you know, it's strange to those that do not walk with God and have that same understanding. And indeed, they may think it very strange that we do not run with them to the same excessive riot, speaking evil of us even. But praise the Lord, yes, it calls us strangers and pilgrims on the earth here in Hebrews 11. And, oh, yes, this is speaking of all the people of God, those that die in faith. Oh, yes, there's something that we look for that's beyond this world. Oh, yes, just as Abraham was looking for that city which hath foundation. Oh, yes, whose ruler and maker is God, so are the children of God. Oh, yes, here on earth we have not yet received the promise. But we could see those promises afar off. And, you know, we're persuaded of them. It's in our heart. We know that it's real. We know it's going to be a reality. We know it's going to come to pass. And praise the Lord, we embrace the promises of God. And yes, we confess that this world is not our home. No, this world is. Oh, yes, it's as we are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. It tells us in verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Oh, praise the Lord. We're seeking a place beyond this world. Oh, yes, a city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, yes, that city that God has prepared for them that love him. Yes, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, and heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Oh, praise the Lord. It's by eyes of faith that we can see, oh yes, that which lies ahead of us. Oh yes, that which is not visible to our eyes at this moment. Oh, but Jesus, oh yes, so beautifully spoke of it in John the 14th chapter. Oh, he told us as pilgrims and strangers on this earth, he said in verse 1 here in John the 14th chapter, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, praise the Lord, the promise of God. Oh, yes, we know that he's going to come in like manner, just as he went into the heavens, so he shall return. And in the interim, oh, yes, in the meantime, he is preparing a place for his people, for his children, for his seed. Oh, praise the Lord. And it's in our heart. Oh, yes, we can see it by eyes of faith. We're persuaded of that place that is beyond us. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to confess that we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. But, oh, my, we know that there is something that awaits us, something beyond this world. And, oh, by all means, we don't want to look back. Oh, yes, you know, I imagine Abraham got a little discouraged at times. Oh, you know, it must have been wearisome to, you know, walk, walk, walk. You know, stay a while and get up and go again and seem to have no permanent dwelling place. And, you know, I don't know, perhaps it even came across his mind at times, the possibility of returning to his old land, to his old people, the thing that had once been familiar. But, oh my, we never want to do that as children of the Lord. We've come out of the world. Oh, yes, the Lord has bought us with his blood. And, oh, yes, he has made us his own, his children, his sons, and his daughters. And even though we too go through wearisome times, and we too go through times of discouragement, we too fight battles. And oh yes, we know what it's like to be rejected. We may know what it's like to be persecuted. We may know what it's like to be ridiculed. Oh, we may know that there are trials and tests in this world. But oh my, the Lord puts a hope in our heart that is greater than anything of this world. And oh, yes, we are convinced of the things that God has prepared for his people, that eternal inheritance. Oh, yes, that isn't going to fade away, that is not corruptible, that thing that, oh, yes, he has reserved in the heavens for his people. Praise the Lord. Oh, we are convinced of it, and we are looking for a city, just as Abraham was looking for a city which hath foundations, whose ruler and whose maker is God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, I imagine there were moments that Abraham could have turned back and forgot it. But oh, we must never do that. We look here for a moment at the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, starting with verse 35. Oh, here we are warned and admonished. Verse 35 says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry." Oh, that blessed hope that is deep in our heart. Oh, we know it's going to happen. If it doesn't happen in our lifetime, it's going to happen a little later. And oh, as we're seeing the world as it is right now, oh my, it just seems like, oh my, the moment of his return is mighty close, that it's really at hand. Oh, yes, and it is time. Oh, Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And we are seeing things that we perhaps never imagined. We are living in the book of Revelation, I believe. And oh my, how we must hold on, how we must hang on, how we must keep our confidence in God. Praise the Lord, that confidence that, oh yes, is going to bring us a great payback, a great recompense of reward. And how we need patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Oh, it's just, you know, within grasp. It's just out there just a little bit. If we could just hang on, if we could just continue to do the things that we need to do to fulfill the will of God. Oh, if we could just, oh, continue our walk with God. Yes, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Oh, my, it's going to be quite a surprise. Oh, yes, it's going to be quite suddenly. Oh, yes, there isn't going to be, you know, a great announcement, you know, prior, you know, put out before all the people saying the Lord Jesus is coming tomorrow. He's coming tonight. I don't know. We don't know the day or the hour of his coming. All I know is we want to have our hearts right. Oh, yes. We want to have oil in our lamps. We don't want anything. Oh, yes. We don't want that light to go out before our Redeemer cometh, before our Master cometh, before our King cometh. For he's going to come suddenly, and his reward is with him to give everyone according as their deeds. Oh yes, oh yes, as they have done. And as it tells us here in Hebrews, this 10th chapter, for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Oh, that sound of the trumpet. Oh, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. Oh, as it comes forth. And oh, all at once we realize this is the moment that we've been waiting for. Our Lord is coming and he's not going to tarry any longer. It's going to be over. That door is going to be shut. Verse 38 here in Hebrews 10 tells us, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Oh my, there is a warning here. I know I had a study with my dear sisters in Singapore and Sister Wilde also there this last Sunday night. You know, it was their Monday in Singapore. But anyway, we went into the 18th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And oh my, there's so much in that chapter, but it's very clear. And yes, it describes individual accountability. And it's very good to, yes, have this knowledge. Amen. But there is a warning here. Oh, yes, you know, and there is good news also. Because it tells us that if there is a wicked person that turns from his sins, all that he has committed, and repents, in other words, and does the things that please the Lord, that, you know, turns the heart and lives in God's ways, that in spite of the past wickedness, that he will live in the sight of God, that his transgressions that were a part of his former life are not remembered or even mentioned. God sees only his righteousness. And of course, we know we have this privilege. God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent, as we read there in the book of Acts. And yes, in this dispensation of grace, there is that great need to turn from our sinful ways, to repent, to give our lives over to the Lord. And yes, to obey the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And praise the Lord, oh, it's such a gift that we've been given, that we know that if we will obey the gospel, we'll die out to the old man in repentance and obey the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, that all those past deeds of our life will not be retained, that they will not be remembered by our God. And oh yes, when we stand before Him, we will be judged righteous by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, and the work that He has done in our heart. But on the other hand, there is a warning in Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, for those that even knew the Lord, who lived righteously, but then somehow through cares of this life or discouragement or because of persecution or because of the love of riches or whatever, fell away and did wicked things and then died in that wickedness. Well, that is a sorry way to die, because if that would be our case, then all those better things that we once did, all those righteous things that we once did, will not be remembered. Oh, it's so important, you know. You don't want to die in your sins. Oh my, you don't want to die in your sins, because oh my, there's a God who is so gracious and willing to forgive us. If we only heed the gospel, if we only give our hearts to the Lord, if we only repent while we have a little time to repent, if we only live for Him while we can, while we have breath. And yes, as it tells us here in Hebrews, this 10th chapter, oh, this great need, oh yes, this essentiality to live by faith. Oh, that's the only way we can live by, you know, it's by that faith that God puts in our heart, standing on His promises. Oh, not the things that are seen with eyes, but rather seen with eyes of faith. Not with our natural eyes, but eyes of faith, realizing that there is a world beyond, a hope deep in our hearts when we live for the Lord and we stand on His promises. And oh my, we never want to look back. We never want to draw back, because it declares, oh yes, in the scripture here, Hebrews the 10th chapter, verse 38, that if we draw back, God would have no pleasure in that individual. But oh, I praise the Lord, we want to be of them who believe to the saving of our souls. Oh, praise the Lord. Abraham was looking for a city that hath foundations, whose ruler and maker is God. And likewise, if we are the children of God, we too are looking for that city. Oh, that hope that is beyond this world. Oh, that hope of seeing Jesus and living with Jesus. Oh, yes, and feasting with Jesus, all the good things that He has prepared for His people. Oh, praise the Lord. That is a thing that God's people all have in common. That faith that God puts in our heart. Oh yes, that we can believe God regardless of what's going on in this world. And we can, oh yes, with faith believe that, oh yes, we keep on serving the Lord, keep on doing His will, keep on standing on His promises, that we're going to get there. We're going to make it to that city, that place that hath foundation. Oh, that place that God has prepared for for them that love him. Oh, praise the Lord, you love God tonight. Oh, yes, as he come into your life. Oh, yes, he's the ruler of your soul. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful that we can give our lives over to the Lord. And oh, yes, how I would urge everyone, oh, yes, to continue that walk with the Lord, to never look back. Oh, by no means to cast away your confidence, because that confidence in God, that faith in God, hath great recompense of reward. Oh, yes, that eternal destination, that eternal life with the Lord Jesus in that city where the Lamb is the light, that city that he has prepared for his people. Oh, praise the Lord. And, oh, yes, that great need. Oh, yes, to have our treasures in heaven, that place where moth or rust doth not corrupt, that place where thieves do not break through and steal. For where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, as we live by faith, yes, we are looking for that city. We are waiting for that city. We are believing on that city. Praise the Lord, where the Lamb is the light. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for that hope that is deep within our being, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Oh, God, that we can stand on your promise and realize that we are going to realize it. Oh, Lord, if we can just continue our walk with thee. Oh, we can just stand on thy promises and never look back. But, oh, Lord, keep going, Lord. Keep believing you. Keep walking with you, Lord. Oh, yes, keep acknowledging you, Lord, keep walking by faith. Oh, Lord, I pray that all of us would have this deep in our heart, oh, Lord, and keep on going toward that city, oh, Lord, that you have prepared for your people, that city that Abraham was looking for. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Love the Lord. Thank the Lord. We are looking for a city, that city where the Lamb is a light, that city that Abraham was looking for, that city with foundations, whose ruler and maker is God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. Seems like a good night to sing number 222 in the hymnal, "In the City Where the Lamb is the Light." Number 222. There's a country far beyond the starry sky. There's a city where there never comes a night. If we're faithful, we shall go there by and by. In the city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Here we have our days of sunshine, but we know that the sun which shines upon us now so bright will be changed to clouds and rain until we go to the city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. There the flowers bloom forever, and the day shall be one eternal day without a night, and our tears shall be forever wiped away. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Here we have our disappointments all the while, and our fondest hopes but meet with bitter blight. Though by night we weep, the morning brings a smile. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Then let sunlight fade, let twilight bring its gloom. Not a shadow can my blissful soul affright, for I know that up in heaven there is room. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. In that city where the Lamb is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is the light. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. Have a wonderful night. Be safe.